Conference is being recorded.
Hello?
Hey folks, this is Gerard from Kiva. We're going to wait just a couple more minutes until more people join, and then we'll get started. Thanks. Hey everybody, this is Gerard Akiva. Just wanted to say thank you for calling in to our community conference call for June. Just wanted to let you know that we're recording this call for the blog. It'll be posted on the blog just like last month's call. So if you have an aversion to having your recorded voice heard all over the internet, you may not want to speak up. For those of you who are on kivafriends.org, I'll be in the chat room too, so you can just go ahead and chat me a question if you don't want to ask it out loud. So we have a couple of things on the agenda for today, but first things first, just wanted to go around the room as we always do and let you know who's here from Kiva. And for those of us in the room, if you can speak up so the folks on the phone can hear you. So I'm Gerard. I'm the customer service manager here at Kiva. I'll be facilitating the call today.
I'm Roma. I'm the product manager here at Kiva.
I'm Fiona. I'm the public relations director.
I'm Ryan. I'm a volunteer with the finance team.
I'm Zach. I'm the coordinator of the program.
I'm Stephanie. I'm the accounting manager.
Hi, I'm Tim Hassett, portfolio and risk director.
I'm Parth Shah. I'm the community outreach team volunteer.
Hi, I'm Giovanna. I'm a partnerships manager for North and Central America.
Hi, I'm Chelsea. I'm the community director.
I am Tally. I'm interning with the community outreach team.
I'm Orlando.
I'm
also a
community
outreach team
member. I'm Cromwell, the service president
with
Kiva.
This is Matt. I'm the co-founder and CEO of Kiva.
All right. I guess that's everybody. So let's jump into it. Tim Hass is going to get us started with a little portfolio rundown.
Sure. Thanks, Gerard. And hello, everyone. Sorry I missed the call last month. We got about five different names we can talk about really quickly and entertain any questions you all might have on some of our portfolio names. First name is Action Now Kenya. As many of you know, Action Now Kenya ended up posting some 31 loans that weren't exactly dispersed. And so we paused them on the website, have been in negotiations, ended up agreeing with them on a promissory note where they would pay Kiva lenders over an extended period of time. That first payment is due on June 30th. Since then, there have been two intervening things that have happened. Number one, it appears that Action Now Kenya was the victim of a robbery. Apparently, all of their computers and MIS materials had been stolen. We haven't messaged that on the website yet because we're asking for a copy of the police report. We told that should be forthcoming. The second thing is that Irene, the executive director of Action Now Kenya, has sent us a folder with a number of updates. What we've decided to do with those is, since the website was not used correctly by Action Now Kenya, we don't want to consider those as journal entries, but we do want to get interested lenders the information that Irene is presenting. And so what we've decided to do is on their borrower page, their partner page, excuse me, we will put up a link in the next few days to this communication from Irene at Action Now, talking about what's happening with a number of her borrowers. Next item is Fundación San Miguel Arcángelo. Our last update on that was May 25th. This situation has turned into a liquidation. We had hopes that FSMA, Fundación San Miguel, would continue as a going concern. Their board has now decided that they are going to wind up operations. So we now have a council we're working with to try to define our position and prove our proof of claim. The other tack that we're taking is reaching out to a local funder who is on the ground who has frozen their bank accounts, and we're trying to work with them to form a creditors group of all creditors to FSMA. Hopefully we'll have more to report on that in the next couple of weeks. A fairly good story for Kiva that you may have heard about previously is Norm Micro. Norm Micro, Azerbaijan, got into trouble earlier this year. They had a number of frauds. It is a $10 million capital structure where we are now part of a creditors group. The good news is for Kiva is our outstandings right now have been paid down to no more than $3,000. So what we'd really like to see happen here is that Kiva just gets make that happen, so that in terms of this $10 million capital structure, our pro rata share of future collections will be so small it really won't be worth the wire transfer to send it to us. But this is actually a fairly good story for Kiva. Next name is Admic, a name in Mexico that was newly paused. Our update on that dates from June 5th on the website. There have been a number of issues with Admic. There were some management changes that seemed to complicate things a bit. They had some FX losses, and more seriously, they had some portfolio problems and losses. As a result, they've gone to their lenders and indicated that they can no longer make contractually obligated payments and are looking for a moratorium and rescheduling. We're open to being a good partner there and trying to help them get through this period with their other creditors, but we have asked them for some financial projections and their plans just to see how ultimately they're able to emerge from this situation. And the final name is Yamida. This is the story I've talked about previously. They've owed Kiva $700 for many, many, many months. They have simply failed to respond to our emails and entreaties for communication. Darren Mao, the MPM that handles Yamida, is in Indonesia as we speak and has reached out to them. We hope to get a resolution on this. This is a total exposure of $700, but for the affected Kiva lenders, we really feel that they should be paid. There is absolutely no credit problem at Yamida that we're aware of. That's the update on the portfolio. We can entertain questions, I guess, as part of general questions. Great.
Cool. So let's move on real quick to just recap the excitement of the U.S. launch. Fiona's going to talk to you about that.
Hi. We had a really exciting week last week. For those of you who didn't catch it, Premal Shah, our president, appeared live on Good Morning America, which actually was kind of, you know, the first big press piece that we did to kind of launch the U.S. pilot. We were also on ABC World News with Charlie Gibson that evening. And so, you know, what we actually did last week, we were in New York doing press from Tuesday through Friday. Tuesday was a lot of pre-recorded radio and TV interviews. Wednesday we did some live things. We also have an upcoming piece on PBS Nightly Business Report, and I know a lot of people caught us on BBC World Service and Marketplace and Marketplace Money. And then Thursday we did a satellite media tour, which is actually the first time we've ever done that, which was really exciting. For those that don't know, it involves sitting in a studio for 6 hours while radio and local news, TV news shows dial in to the studio, and they all got interviews with Premel. So that really allowed us to hit a lot of kind of more local programs, but do it in a really efficient way, though it was very taxing. Doing a lot of interviews one after another, and then there was a bunch of print press that we did while we were out there too, and a lot of stuff has already come out. There'll probably be some more stories coming out in the next week or so. But I think overall it was a really successful press tour, and we hope everyone enjoyed watching it.
Cool. Thanks, Fiona. Just going to note that we're going to save questions until after we have just basically two more items to go through, and then we'll have time for a Q&A. So next up, Premel is going to talk to you a little bit about clarifying a statement he made last time or a couple months ago, talking about the ways in which lenders and partners should communicate. So here's your time.
Sure. So one of the issues that we discussed in the last call was the cockfighting loan that was on the website. And my perspective on that was that, you know, Kiva being a platform that facilitates not only loans but kind of understanding between people around the world, the kind of user activism that I saw where our lenders were contacting the MFI directly, that was something I actually encouraged because it's a way of exchanging understanding directly. We've now had some experience with people doing that, and in some cases, I think it got to a point where it was impolite and actually somewhat abusive. And so Kiva has rethought its position on that. And one thing I wanted to talk about is basically, for the time being, we believe that the right thing to do is, if there's a strong issue with a partner, to actually channel it through contact us at Kiva, and let us actually work with the microfinance institution to address the issue and communicate the concerns of our lenders. We really do believe in communicating these concerns and informing people who touch the platform, lenders and MFI. And so the intention of passing along the message is definitely there, but I guess given the nature of some of the contacts that were generated and perhaps the inappropriateness of the language that was used, it's better if you contact Kiva, and then Kiva, the partnership manager at Kiva, relays that information in summary to that microfinance institution so that they can make a choice.
Cool. So one last item before we jump to questions. What's that? Yeah. So thank you. One last item before we jump to questions is we're making a little bit of a change to the way that we talk about interest rates on the Kiva website. So Tim Hassett is going to talk to you a little bit about that.
Thanks again, Gerard. Yeah, there was a thread on Kiva Friends that actually I really appreciated, talking about some of the interest rates we're showing on the website. It caused me to take a hard look at those and to agree that they may not be exactly the best way to communicate how much a borrower is paying. One of the problems that we have with the interest rate that we're showing is, number one, it's declarative from the MFI. So the MFI tells us, okay, geez, here's how much our interest rates are. We've had trouble sort of, you know, verifying that objectively, number one. Number two, there's also some confusion on whether it's just a simple interest rate, whether it should be annualized, and we really feel like we can do a better job with this data. So what we've decided to do is to move from interest rate to portfolio yield. What's portfolio yield? Well, portfolio yield includes not just interest rates, but also interest rates and fees that borrowers pay to the MFI. That then is included as the numerator, where the denominator to get the yield is the average loans outstanding that the MFI had over the course of the year that we're measuring. So the benefits to that for us are several fold. Number one is it is based on objective data. We will take this directly from the MFI's financial statements, audited financial statements. Number two is you implicitly get to an annualization of the interest rate costs. And number three, we include all fees that may be associated with the lending rates. So we're making this move in the next couple of weeks. We have done all of the calculations. Right now where we are is sending out these calculations to the MFIs and informing them that we're making this change. We want to give them about a week or so to react, and then we'll make this change on the website with some fairly detailed help text for lenders on how to think about interest rates. It's not always the case that the lowest interest rate is the most socially innovative or the most socially supportive MFI. There may be regional differences. There may be even differences within a region in terms of who the MFI is serving in terms of the population they're lending to. So we think it was a great initiative on the part of Kiva lenders to call our attention to this, and we are reacting.
Well, Tim, can you talk a little bit to maybe where the data is coming from to
Yeah, absolutely. So all the calculations that we've done, about 100 of them, all come from the actual audited financial statements of the microfinance institution we're dealing with. So one of the benefits, as I indicated, this is objective data. It's no longer declarative.
All right. Thanks, Tim. So just want to open it up now to any questions that you all on the line might have. Any other questions?
Hi, this is Diane in San Jose. I guess I have one question if nobody had anything relative to what you've just said. I'm wondering if someone could tell us some more, please, about the partnership between Kiva and Purex and why it was undertaken. Has it broken any new ground for Kiva or established any kinds of precedents, and are there other product promotion deals like this in the works with other companies that you can tell us about?
Sure. Hi. This is Bennett Cristano. I'm the development director here. And I think the Purex partnership is in a, kind of an interesting experiment for us. First of all, some of the key sort of brand managers at Purex happen to be avid Kiva lenders like ourselves. And so that was, I think, one thing that we thought was interesting. And it also represents kind of the a new way to sort of leverage the API that we just developed recently, which, you know, to this point, people have been building applications on top of that, which, you know, primarily get the word out to Facebook and you know, sort of other social networking sites. This was the first time that someone had actually brought resources to bear to try to extend the lending experience in other kind of interesting ways. So this is a way for people to sort of learn about and discover Kiva through the customer base of Purex. And I think we were all sort of skeptical at first of, you know, what does laundry detergent have to do with Kiva? But we decided if they're going to bring resources to bear, it's very, little load on us in terms of having to build that site and so forth. We decided it's worth a shot. And they're putting about $50,000 towards loans to women entrepreneurs that are also moms. So that's what we decided to give it a try. It's an experiment. There are potentially some other relationships that we could seek out in that way, but we're going to kind of see, wait and see how this goes. I'd be curious to see some feedback. I did see some robust discussion on Kiva Friends, so I'd welcome any feedback on that.
Cool. Diane, do you have a follow-up on that from the community, or does anybody else?
I don't know if anyone else does, but thank you for the information.
I'm just curious, what was the summary? I mean, what did people think about what happened?
I think the community tends to be a bit split on the question, but most of the people who responded were supportive of the initiative and thought it would bring new awareness to Kiva and what it does. There was some concerns also expressed, but I think in general people were a little surprised to see it, but at least cautiously optimistic that it would be a good thing. And certainly the money coming into Kiva is nothing to be unhappy about.
Right. You know, one thing I would add too is, you know, we don't really have an advertising budget here at Kiva. I mean, we tend, you know, most people find out about us through press events like, you know, the sort of press tour that Fiona was telling you about earlier. So, you know, this was, you know, one other way to get the word out in a way that's, you know, pretty cost effective to us. Purex actually had Angie Harmon on a couple of news broadcasts. You know, she was on Fox News, I believe. And
OK
so that
magazine.
that's some issues on OK magazine. So you know, hopefully there are, you know, now thousands, if not, you know, hundreds of thousands of people that have heard about Kiva through these, you know, through this promotion that might not have otherwise. So, you know, that's another one of the main benefits that we were hoping to get from this relationship. So, you know, I think you know, we're sort of cautiously optimistic, you know, we'll continue to see how, you know, how much of an impact this promotion actually ends up having.
Cool. Thanks, Bennett. Does anybody else have any questions about anything in particular? We have new terms of use. We just launched the United States. We just told you about a new way to present interest on the website.
If nobody's going to ask another question, this is Diane again. I missed the first part of the call. I had some technical problems here. But would you say that the U.S. launch was successful? Was it what you wanted to see in terms of new lenders and funds coming into the site? Do you think that that lenders to American entrepreneurs have also been lending around to other parts of the world also? Any comments on how you think it went, other than that there was a lot of publicity?
So, you know, while looking around the room, and I'll tell you my personal feeling on it, this is Premal. So the publicity was great. I know there was a lot of excitement at our field partners, Oxio and USA, as well as Opportunity Fund. I know the clients that were listed on the website were really excited. You know, we've seen things that we never could have imagined before, like, for example, someone in Cambodia lending to someone in the United States. There was a ton of excitement. Now, I think one thing that was a little surprising to me was I don't know how much of that excitement translated to loan volume on the website when we launched last Wednesday and then, you know, followed through for the rest of the week. And that can be driven by a couple of things. One is, you know, it's the law of large numbers. As Kiva gets bigger, the effect of press on our loan volume is as a percentage is smaller. You know, now that we're post 15th of the month, I think yesterday we did $292,000 or something, almost $300,000 yesterday. Versus the day that we were on Good Morning America, we only did about $100,000 less. So you know, it could just be that the effect of press isn't as great. The other thing that we did see is that a ton of people signed up. I think we almost had a 600% increase in the number of users who registered on last Wednesday, and yet, you know, maybe only a twofold increase in the loan volume. And so what that might imply is that a lot of people may have registered thinking that they could get a loan on Kiva. I know that Gerard has some statistics that one of the top FAQs in our help center was, how do I get a loan? And so, you know, to some end, that's actually a really good thing, because there's not much awareness around microfinance in the United States. Something like 20% of Americans are unbanked. But, you know, most people don't know that, hey, if I'm a small business and I can't get approved for a loan and I meet certain targeting criteria, I can actually go to these other organizations. And so these organizations have seen a pretty solid amount of new loan applications from small businesses. And that's been, so that's been pretty good. So net-net, I think we're all really excited about it. I think time will tell. I don't have any data around the rate of funding of U.S. businesses versus non-U.S. businesses. But I'd be interested in your guys, the folks on the phone, and the people in the room, kind of what people thought.
This is a quiet crowd today.
I can build some of the point on from the partner side in the U.S. Our partners now in the U.S. have seen throughout kind of the last week somewhere between a 4 to 6 time increase in the number of applications, and the applications that kind of referred through the Kiva website essentially to these partners have had by enormous amounts the highest kind of not approval rate because they haven't been approved yet, but they've been kind of the more high quality kind of loans that they can actually serve. So it's been quite beneficial, I think, for business owners around the country who didn't know that they had opportunities to access capital because they've been turned down by banks everywhere. And so I think that's something that was really exciting to find out. About 50% of the people that called in to both of our partners could move on to the next kind of pre-qualified, and that's their highest ever.
Awesome. Okay, well, thanks, Carmel Giovanna. There's a question in the chat room from our friend Wolfgang in Germany about the terms of use. And basically his question was, are we going to consider including a best efforts or a due diligence or good governance clause in the next version of the COU? And Wolfgang was saying that it seems to be just full of legalese and disclaimers and exclusion clauses, et cetera. So often, if you want to speak to that point.
All right, I'd be happy to. So Wolfgang, thank you very much for your question. Due diligence governance, the way that we look at our MFIs, is something that's extremely important to Kiva. What we're trying to make clear in our terms of use, to answer your question first more directly and then to expand, is the idea that as you and all of our Kiva friends and other lenders know, Kiva works in some of the most difficult places, quite frankly, around the world. And in trying to do our effort, sometimes there are limitations both in terms of resource and access rights, whether it's a visa being denied or whether it's political instability that prevents Kiva from being able to go in and in occasions do on-site due diligence. So what we're trying to be doing through our terms of use is to make it very clear and open in a way that people understand that when they are making the microloans on Kiva, there are those levels of risk in terms of limitations that Kiva faces with respect to its ability to do due diligence. Having said that, as I think everyone on the call is aware, Kiva puts a high priority on that. That's why we're entering into partnerships with major, for example, international accounting enterprises to assist us in terms of doing global due diligence that have the sites. That's why we run our Kiva Kiva Fellows program, where volunteers are deployed and work with Kiva to try to do the best due diligence that we can. We require audited financials and other information that allows us to help put on a star rating system. So we do what we're able to do, what we feel is in a reasonable way based on the constraints that we face, both as a small organization and one that has to deploy resources, the limited resources that we have kind of in a global context. So the terms of use is not so much a way to make it a frustrating experience, but really in a way to be more transparent and disclose some of the constraints that we face and to make it very clear that, you know, unlike, let's say, a bank where you might do an investment in, there are certain constraints and limitations in terms of Kiva's ability to do that type of diligence as important as a priority as we make it.
All right. Thanks, Austin. There was a part two to that question. It was specifically about some of the content and license clause where we were talking about lender pictures and other things that are publicly viewable. Can you speak a little bit to that and you know, specifically about how those pictures should be used or why we included that language.
Absolutely. And again, Wolfgang, thank you for your second question as well. So similar to the first answer, what Kiva is trying to do here is to, again, make kind of abundantly clear through open disclosure and through our terms of use, where we don't want there to be, quite frankly, any confusion or misunderstanding with respect to the very public nature of the Kiva website. So we also want to make it clear that we very much empower the Kiva lender, the Kiva website user, the ability to restrict what information is posted with respect to the particular lender. So you have a choice in the most clear case to have an anonymous profile, but we also respect the fact that some people may not want to have an anonymous profile, but then you are empowered to make your own decision as to how much information you would actually like to post and the types of information that you post. So to address your picture question more directly, to the extent that there is any concern that a Kiva lender has, you have the choice to either not post a picture or post a picture that perhaps is not personally identifying. So for example, some of our Kiva lenders have pictures of their pets or they have a picture of a scenic background, things like that. So there are a number of ranges of choices and options that we definitely want to provide the Kiva lender, but we also want to make it very clear that people understand up front that, again, given the very public nature of the Kiva website, to the extent that a public picture is posted, that at some level, you know, Kiva loses control over how people may view it. So for example, in the U.S. launch, if a network wanted to show, hey, you know, look at the global presence of Kiva lenders, and they go to our website and happen to, on the news feature, show three Kiva lenders, one from the U.S., one from Europe, one from Japan, at some level, that's going to be a global presence, and so we want to make it clear that if, to the extent that people post a picture, there is going to be that broad, potentially broad disclosure, and we want to be very upfront about that.
Very great. Thank you, Austin. Are there any other questions on the phone line? No other questions? Diane, I know that there have been, I thought I saw on one of those threads that there were some other questions that you were holding for the community call. I don't know if you already answered those.
Unfortunately, I didn't go through and inventory them before the call. Most of them seemed to be more like little site engineering concerns or problems or something, the kind of thing that we would more talk about in a liaison call rather than on the community conference call, so I don't have anything else to bring up.
Okay. Great. Thanks, Diane. All right. Well, if nobody has anything else, then we'll set a new record, shortest community call ever. All right. I'm going to take that as a no. So thanks to everybody for participating. As always, if you have any other questions, you can go ahead and contact us at keep.org. Thanks.
Thank you. Please stand by.